The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
The fruit of the spirit of meekness seems to all but be lost in our self-centered and hostile society in which we live today. I mean, after all, most people today associate meekness with weakness, and they don't seem to admire those people who might be considered as a meek person. However, in this teaching today, we're going to see that meekness is not what most people assume that it is. Meekness is a quality of God that is very noticeable in the greatest human being who ever walked the face of the earth, and we're obviously referring to Jesus Christ. It is also part of God's nature that each and every one of us deeply need today. If you simply look at a modern English dictionary or even a thesaurus, I think it will become very clear why meekness is associated with weakness. Let me give you some synonyms of the word meek or meekness. This is taken out of an English dictionary, and then I threw in some also from a thesaurus. Tame, timid, mild, weak, unambitious, retiring, docile, broken, bland. I'm not expecting you're going to write all of this down, but I'm just trying to get a sense of it. So why, we certainly could understand why most people would consider meekness being associated with weakness. Repressed, suppressed, spiritless. There are others. And brethren, whenever we really consider it, of course, we should all know that not a single one of these words applies to Jesus Christ. Nor, when you really understand it, not a single one of those words would apply to Moses. I'll just simply quote from you, because in Numbers 12 and verse 3, it tells us that Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And let me ask you, do you think these terms or these words describe King David, who was a mighty warrior, who also was beloved by God? Or what about Paul the Apostle, who was tireless and fearless and was courageous in how he faced the many dangerous situations in which he was challenged, painful persecutions, and all the things that he went through? And the answer, of course, is no. Yet, once we understand what Bible meekness is, we will easily see that all of these men, and there are others, but we will see that all of these men were indeed meek. Yet not one of them would any of us consider as being weak. So I think when we just look at it from that perspective, we begin to see we might have a problem in understanding the word itself. And so that's why I want us to take a look at it here today. We understand that this incredible godly trait would be twisted or offbeat or something else if we would come to the conclusion that any of these men were weak in any way. And we know they were not. Meekness, an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, is an attribute of God the Father Himself, and it is something that is very important to our being in His image and for us to be a true witness of who and what is God. I mean, I don't think any of us could do this. I don't think any of us could live this way of life if we were weak whenever situations arrive that would maybe force us or cause us to might crumble under, but we're not going to do that. We're going to hold up. We're going to be lifted up. We're going to lift up God the Father and Jesus Christ and all of those things. And so it's something that we need to take a look at. When rightly understood, this fruit of the Spirit will, and I mean to a large degree, determine how much peace and how much contentment will be in our lives and how well we actually can hold up through trials and testings. It's probably one of the fruits of the Spirit that we look at and we would not consider that it's so important that it determines the peace and the contentment and how we can actually hold up during trials. I don't think this is the one that we would think about. A biblical definition, and probably not definition, is probably not the right word. The right word would probably be a biblical usage of the word of meekness would be something along the lines of an attitude of humble, submissive, and expectant trust in God, and a loving, patient, and gentle attitude toward others. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Do you know what he actually described? Was the fruit of the Spirit of meekness. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. You got to have all the other aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. I'm not implying that. But I'm saying by just the biblical usage or definition of the word, he said the greatest commandment is to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And that in one way could be looked at as being a major aspect of understanding meekness. But that's not what we tend to think, is it? I want you to go with me now to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's over in Matthew chapter 5. You know this, but I want us to read it. I want you to have this as in the forefront of your thinking as we go through the rest of this teaching. Matthew 5 and verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Is he implying to not have it, you're not going to inherit the earth? And the answer is, yes, he is. Those who are not meek, in the biblical sense, are not going to inherit the earth. So I think this is a pretty important subject that I think that every one of us wants to understand. In fact, meekness is so important that Jesus included this characteristic in this foundational teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. I'm not going through the Sermon on the Mount today. That's not what we're going to do. But what he is saying is and telling us, this is a foundational teaching and point that is there for the life of every believer. All believers will have these things. All believers will have meekness because they will be meek because they're going to inherit the earth. It should be obvious to us as believers, this world's idea of a perfect man, a perfect person, is far different from Jesus. I mean, the meek are among those who are so favored by God. They are among that group of people who will share in Jesus' inheritance of the earth. That's how important it is to God. But we don't see that in our world today. We don't see meekness that way. We see them describing meekness in terms of weakness. And like I've already shown you, you just look up the dictionary definition or thesaurus, and you can certainly come to the conclusion why people would come to that assessment. That's because they're not looking at what the Bible says. When we think about how modern mankind considers those who are meek, these words that Jesus has described here in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness could be thought of as being almost incomprehensible. They're totally different views of what the world would look at. I mean, because when you really stop and think about it, they would think that it would be something like, blessed are the strong who can hold their own. They wouldn't say it's the meek that is going to be there. They would say, you're describing and what you're talking about is a weak person, and they're not going to be. There's going to be a person who is going to be strong that's going to do that. And what we're going to see is, by the end of the teaching, is they're right, only they just don't understand the word. And so we need to see it. We need to think about it. When we look at this beatitude, Matthew 5:5, on the surface, in the world, not among us, not shouldn't be among us, the church, but on the surface in the world, it might seem to have little meaning, and what there is might seem to comprehend or to contradict, rather, the plain facts of everyday life. You're not going to get ahead. You're not going to get by. You're not going to be part of the, if you're a weak person, why would God want a weak person? Because they don't understand the word. In fact, I'm not even really sure how a worldly thinking person, not a godly thinking person, but a worldly thinking person, could even possibly accept it at face value. Because it would be so contrary to what they think, what they would hold in their heart. So we need to ask, what about the believer? Well, from the very beginning, I want us to understand, I want us to realize that too many believers have ignored the lessons of this beatitude and not putting it into practice in their lives. Because they have adopted the thinking and the philosophy of the world toward this word and the misunderstanding of it. Oh, sure. They're going to believe it's true, yet at the same time, is it really true in today's world where we live? They're going to consider it is not even practical. But brethren, is it? Is it? What we need to remember is that Jesus himself said, blessed, happy, favored, because all of those words, blessed, are the meek. It could be happy, it could be favored. Either one of those words would be properly translated in that way. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It could be happy are the meek, or it could be favored are the meek. And Jesus said, those are the meek. Jesus said that. The fact is, true believers will accept this teaching of Jesus Christ, and they will learn from it, and they will grow in it. So let's ask, what is meekness anyway? What is it? I'm going to go through not doing a word study, but I am going to mention both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Greek and the Hebrew words, because it helps us to see it and understanding it a little bit clearer, I believe that it is. And so the Hebrew word translated as meekness is A-N-A-V. I don't care if you write the Hebrew and the Greek words down, it's not the point, I'm just going to give them to you. It's A-N-A-V, or sometimes it is spelled A-N-A-W. And the word itself, the Hebrew word, would mean depressed in mind. And that's talking about figuratively speaking. Not literally, but at least figuratively speaking, depressed in mind. It means gentle. It means humble, lowly, meek, poor, afflicted, miserable. That's the Hebrew word that in the Old Testament is translated as meek or meekness. One reason this Old Testament Hebrew word anah is so difficult to explain is because it focuses on the intended outcome of affliction. the intended outcome of affliction. Then in the New Testament, the Greek word is P-R-A-U-T-E-S. And it's no easier to explain than the Old Testament word. It is defined as mildness, and that meaning humility. So when you take the whole intended purposes of both the Old and the New Testament words that we have as our word meek or meekness, I think we can come down and put it all together and have different usages that I think that we can see that it is a condition of mind and heart which demonstrates gentleness, not in weakness, but in power. And that is not anything close to what would come to our minds. We live in America. We don't think the word meek of being powerful or associated with power. We think it's associated with being weak. And I have already shown you why I think that is true. But when you put all the words together, like I said, I'm not doing an exhaustive word study, but I'm paraphrasing it all down, and that's what the words would really come to conclude, that it actually is power, not weakness. When we consider Jesus' words, the meek will inherit the earth, what he actually did there was he raised the word's common usage far beyond its normal use. And so that it grabbed the attention, and whenever he made these statements, it would have been somewhat of a shocking statement. We read it and we're so used to it, it doesn't shock us. It probably shocked the believers or the hearers whenever they heard this word. I'm meaning the believers from the point of view even the disciples. They probably might have even been somewhat turned aback. You know, like, whoa, what is he saying? What is he implying? And what is he talking about? Because it was not used in the common way of the word itself. Probably the best way to understand meekness is to see how the Bible uses it in different contexts. And so we're going to take a look at it in different contexts in just a moment. More importantly, and understanding it, would be for us to see how those who have it act in relation to both God and to man. Because that's probably a lot more important than actually seeing it in the context. It would be, how did those people who have meek or meekness, how did they react? How did they relate to God or man in the situations? So let's look again here in Matthew chapter 5. But I'm going to read the two verses right before Matthew 5, 5. Matthew 5 and verse 3. Blessed, happy, or favored are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, happy, or favored, verse 4, are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And brother, when we look at it, I think the first thing that we should realize is that Jesus presents meekness in verse 5, the meek shall inherit the earth, as being a highly desirable quality because he introduced it with the poor in spirit and those who mourn. You have to pretty much see it all together, even though we're not necessarily looking at those two other aspects here today, the poor in spirit or those that mourn, but we see it in that context. And so we would obviously, I think, come to the conclusion, this is something that is greatly to be desired. So when we see Jesus place verse 5 in the context that contains qualities that are similar to meekness. And so I think we start seeing it a little bit different, or hopefully start seeing it a little bit different than what most of the time most people would conclude. In other words, what I'm saying is godly meekness is impossible unless we first come to having a lowly esteem of ourselves. We must become poor in spirit first. In other words, where do we place the value of me in connection to God and to others? That's what he's saying. That's what he's implying. Because we do this by coming before God with a humble heart and with a clear knowledge of the huge difference between, I'll use me, who I am and who God is. That's where it starts. When a person is not demonstrating godly meekness, what they're not doing is they're not seeing the vast difference between themselves and God. And we have to come to that place. Who am I in a relationship, or who am I in an attitude and looking at who God is? And I think once we start doing that, that's a very important thing, and for us to becoming meek as he wants. And there's one other aspect that we have to see as well, and that is, what does God intend us to be, or for us to become? He intends for us to be children in his family. We're not going to be the father in the family. We're going to be the child in the family. And that starts off with verses 3 and 4. Poor in spirit, and those who mourn, and those who are meek. It's a progression. It's a progression. Go with me to the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse 3. Romans 12 and verse 3, we're familiar with verses 1 and 2, but I want to read verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, with that in mind, go to Matthew chapter 11, Matthew 11 and verse 29. Matthew 11 and verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Brethren, what we see here is Jesus links meekness with lowliness. And in doing so, what he is doing, he is explaining why we should hold on to his way of life. So what has he just told us? We need to be meek and we need to be lowly. What did Paul tell us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Don't think too highly of ourselves, more highly than we ought to think. It's a comparative thing. We look at who we are and comparing to who God is. How low can we go? Where we are low is when we come to the realization of that vast difference. That's where meekness begins. As our Lord and Master, Jesus is not harsh, he is not overbearing and oppressive, but he is gentle in how he rules. That's what he says. That's what he says. That's what he just says in verse 29. By embracing this gentle aspect of meekness through others or toward others, we can see why weakness must be a quality of those who will receive the kingdom of God. In other words, the meek will inherit the earth. It's just another way of saying it. Because what is he intending for us to do? Reign and rule alongside Jesus Christ. We're going to do that for 1,000 years. Not going to those verses, but we know that's true. So for 1,000 years, we're going to reign and rule alongside Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're going to take on the characteristics the way Jesus is. How is Jesus? Meek and lowly. It's a comparative thing to who is in charge. Let's understand, because God governs in meekness as his children, so must we. And there are so many times we see people who are ruling with an iron fist, and you know, that's not Jesus. That's not what he says. That's not what he says in verse 20. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That's how he rules. This is what he's saying. And so therefore, as the children of God the Father, as Jesus is a child of God the Father, we're to be the same way he is. And so it's important for us to grasp this. And I think without a doubt, Jesus considered himself as a servant in relationship to God. So he, in a gentle and quiet manner, submitted to the Father's will. He knew his awesome powers. He knew who he was. And he also knew who he was in comparing himself to the Father, who was the ultimately in charge. That's meekness. That's total submission and meekness. That's what it is. And we're going to defy God? Come on. That's what some of our attitudes are. And we need to consider this, what Jesus said is an incredible example. Jesus refused to elevate his own importance over that of God, exercising his authority in humility. Now, at this point, what I'd like for us to do is I'd like to start asking some questions or making some statements, bullets if you want to do it. Some of them are as questions, some are in statements, that I believe can help each one of us in coming to understand this godly quality that he gives to us as his children. Now, before we go into the first one, I want to make another statement here. First, preface it. If we have the Holy Spirit, we have this godly meekness. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's part of the Spirit of God. We may not understand it, and therefore we may not be using it in a godly way. But it is there, because it is available. So that's why I'm wanting us to understand. This is why I want to put it in some just questions or statements and see some verses underneath it. And then we'll kind of try and draw some conclusion. Okay. The first bullet. What is the most accurate word for the fruit of the Spirit? In other words, for our understanding, what would be the better word for us to use? And the reason I say that is because different translations have different words. They'll have the word meek or meekness, and others will have gentleness, and others will have other things. And so it depends on which translation you're reading. You may be confused simply because I don't even have the word in my translation. I don't even have meekness here. Well, you may not. But we need to see it, and so I think a good question to start with is, what would I consider to be the most accurate word used for us? In Galatians 5 and verse 22 and 23, it lists out the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 23, the King James Version says, meekness, temperance, against us there is no law. While the New King James Version translates the Greek word as gentleness. It doesn't use meekness, it uses gentleness. So you may come to a different conclusion right off by which translation you use. I'm not going to, by the end of the day, pick and tell you which translation to use. It's not my purpose, but it's to show us and to come to the understanding of what the word is and for us to get a clearer picture. That's all I'm doing. Okay, now with that in mind, go with me to 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. Now, I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the mercy and gentleness of Christ. Oh, he uses both. Huh, that's interesting. I'll come back to that in just a moment. Who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. This is a reference to Jesus' meekness and gentleness as being separate qualities. Even though, as listed as fruits of the Spirit, the King James uses meekness and the New King James uses gentleness. We've already got a problem, Houston. If you understand what I'm saying, because Paul makes this very clear, it's two separate qualities. You know what? It's also two separate Greek words. Whoa. So, that's why we need to look at actually different translations from time to time and just examine them. And some are better in one and some are better in another. It's not a problem there. We just have to be familiar with and know what the Bible teaches on a particular topic. The Greek word P-R-A-U-T-E-S, meaning meekness, I already gave you that word earlier, describes a condition of mind and heart that is an internal attitude. It's an internal attitude, while gentleness, the Greek word there, again, I don't care if you write these Greek words down or not. You can do this as a study on your own. But the Greek word here is E-P-I-E-I-K-E-I-A. It's translated as gentleness. It's referring to action as an exterior, an outward behavior. So what is meekness? As part of the fruit of the Spirit, you got to know what the word is. You got to understand it from its base concept of what the Bible is getting across. Even though there is no equivalent English word for P-R-A-U-T-E-S that's translated as meekness in the King James Version, that word comes the closest. Again, I'm not picking one translation over the other. I'm just showing you there's a difference. And one of them uses a totally separate Greek word than what the other one does. So that's why you have to be cautious even in translations that we use. The downside of this is that in our modern English, meekness, I've already told you, it carries with it the stigma of weakness and cowardness, which is not the biblical concept at all. And so now, so we not only have a problem with our Bible translations and using the right word or the correct word, we don't even have the correct definition from a biblical point of view of what it means in our English usage of the word. Because I've already made the comment there that that is meekness manifest by God that is given to believers is the fruit of power. It's really the absolute opposite of what the English teaching will even hold out. In other words, it is enduring injury with patience and without resentment. That's power. That's not weakness. A person who's weak is not going to endure it in that way. They're not going to endure it. But a person who is meek in the biblical sense is going to endure injury. And I mean injury from the point of view of something that somebody heaps upon them. They're going to endure injury with patience, and it's going to be endured with patience without any resentment attached to it. Well, that's not the case with our meek word in the English today. Okay, let's go on. The next bullet. As believers, what are we to seek, pursue, and put on? Zephaniah 2 and verse 3. I tried to find the most obscure verse I could find. Not really, I'm just kidding you. But Zephaniah 2 and verse 3. Seek you the Lord, all you meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Wow, I would think this would be something pretty important for us to understand. There's coming a day of the Lord's anger. We want to escape it? Well, it says, seek the Lord, seek righteousness, and seek meekness. Okay, let's go to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. In other words, you go after, you pursue these things. Godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Go after them. You seek these things. Remember, this bullet is, as believers, what are we to be seeking after? What are we pursuing? What are we to be putting on? We haven't gotten to the putting on yet, but we're going to. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Put on as the elect of God, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. So what we're seeing is that meekness is established in God, and therefore we have to conclude that we must be pursuing after it so that we can put it on. So it is something that we can go after. That is the point. That is something, it's available to us. We go after it. Brethren, because meekness is a quality of God's nature, we need to be exerting effort to make sure meekness is part of our nature. And too many times people use the word character, and it's the wrong word. It's nature. Nature is who we are. Character is more of what we are. And we can change that. Nature, we want to be just like God. And so it's a quality of God's nature, and therefore we are to be exerting, putting forth effort that it becomes part of our nature also. The next bullet. How does God react to the meek? Psalm 25 and verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Psalm 147 and verse 6. 147 verse 6. The Lord lifts up the meek. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Which one do you want to be part of? Being lifted up? Well, how do we be lifted up by God? Being meek. Isaiah 11 and verse 4. Isaiah 11 verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth. With the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. He is going to reprove with equity the meek. True believers are meek and are open to the Word of God. And God, as he says here, will guide them and will teach them of his ways. The next bullet. Is producing meekness important? Yes! Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. But go with me to 37, Psalm 37 and verse 11. Psalm 37, verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. This is actually what Jesus is quoting from whenever he goes through in Matthew 5 and verse 5, the meek shall inherit the earth. He's quoting it back from here. Of course, he inspired it to be quoted back there. And so he knew exactly what it said because the principle is Old Testament, the principle is New Testament, and that's exactly what it is. And then go to Psalm 149 and verse 4. Psalm 149 and verse 4. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people, he will beautify the meek with salvation. Now, I want us to understand that God uses terms that he describes characteristics, and he may use different characteristics at different times, because there are other times that he will use that he will do this, the salvation through a person who's this way. And it may not be the word always me, but they're going to have that. They're going to have all those different characteristics. We're just looking at this one. But a person who doesn't have this characteristic, are they going to receive salvation? It's a question. This is what his word says. This is what he says he's going to do. Okay, now go to James 1 and verse 21. James 1, 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So we're to receive the word of God with meekness, that we can be saved. 1 Peter 3, I'm showing you, it's Old and New Testament. That principle is Old and New. 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, and I'm going to read this from the New King James. Verse 3, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Please understand, he didn't say any of those things were wrong, did he? He didn't say that. It's not what he says. It's not what he's implying. Do not let your adornment be merely outward. Rather, verse 4, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible or imperishable beauty of a meek, and the King James says, gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. To having a quiet and meek spirit is quite precious in the sight of God. So, brethren, let's understand the Holy Spirit enables us to produce meekness, which is a necessary attitude for understanding God's Word. You think somebody who would be haughty toward the Word of God could really come to a place of really, really, really understanding the Word of God? I don't think so. If I was not even going through this teaching on meekness, I don't even think that would be a true statement. I don't think they could. Seeing this context of what we're looking at, I absolutely believe it. They would have a major problem really understanding it. What we also see is an added benefit to the meek is that God promises the enjoyment of peace. A meek and quiet spirit is so very precious to God. In fact, he calls it an imperishable ointment, and he rewards the meek with the inheritance of the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Okay, let's go to the next bullet. Jesus set us an incredible example of meekness. Now, we're not going to be to go through all the various aspects of the life of Jesus Christ to demonstrate this. Really just have just two or three passages that we're going to see. And I'm not going to read all the verses that I even have, because we would be here for a while. And I have just a handful, and there's books full. But let's go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. And I'm going to read verse 4, verse 7, and verse 9. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. That's an important phrase. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb. In other words, he didn't open his mouth, so he opened not his mouth. That's the attitude they're showing here of meekness. You see, there is a time to speak, but there's also a time to keep your mouth closed. Even when you know the answers. Verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Okay, now with all of that in mind, now go to Matthew 11 and verse 28. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you will learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Now, I already read that, but I'm putting it in that context, showing you how he was, how he demonstrated, and how he tells us that we can be. This is what he's telling us. Okay, Matthew 26, verse 62. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answer you nothing? What is it which these witnesses say against you? Verse 63, but Jesus held his peace. He didn't say anything. He didn't answer back. Did he know the answers to what they were asking? Of course he did. Is he being smart aleck young rabbi here and not answering back to the high priest? No. This is a spirit and attitude of meekness. He knew why he came. For him to answer something here was not the purpose, was not necessary. He had this meekness about himself. And then he goes on and he says, but I adjure you, you know, I command you, as it were, by the living God, that you tell us whether you be the Christ, the Son of God. And he goes, oh, okay. Now that's something I can comment to. Which almost seems contrary or opposite to meekness, doesn't it? But it isn't. It isn't. Verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, you have said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. No, he didn't. What further need we have witnesses? Behold, now we have heard his blasphemy. What think you? And they answered and said, he is guilty of death. Of course, what we've got to understand is the Jews couldn't put somebody to death at that time. That's why they had to solicit the Romans to do it. That's another point. But anyway, verse 67. Then they spit on his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. And what did he do? Nothing. Nothing. Remember whenever he said, if they do this to you, turn the other cheek? Because this is exactly what he was going to do. Because he had a spirit of meekness. It's not weakness. It's power. Who's really in charge here? I would dare say Jesus is. Sure, a similar thing over in Mark 15, verse 3. And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, answer you nothing? Behold how many things they witness against you. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. He was seeing the fruit of the Spirit of God before his eyes being, quote, lived out. And he marveled at it. Philippians 2 and verse 5. This is after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We read these words. Verse 5, Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the mind that was in Christ Jesus? Humbleness, submissive to God. He had God gave him all power, all authority, yet he submitted himself totally, completely to the will of the Father. And then he says, come and follow me, learn of me. What he's saying is live like I'm living. That's what he's telling them. I mean, when you really understand it. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, or he emptied himself, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the ultimate of humility. That is the ultimate of meekness. Do we see, brethren, Jesus is showing us that meekness is not simply a thoughtful quality, but it is maintaining peace and patience while in the middle of pounding assaults. But we want to answer back. That's what we tend to do as humans. Jesus said, that's not the way. That's not the way. This is not the way. So I don't want you to do this. This is why Paul in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1, let me read that to you. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is present and base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. We saw that earlier. But this is why here Paul is stating that the meekness and gentleness approach can easily appear as weakness, and therefore that's why he associates these two things together with this example of Jesus Christ. And that's why he calls it the meekness of Christ. It's good for us to realize, brethren, that true meekness is always measured by Jesus' meekness. There is no other standard. There is no other standard. Jesus' patience, humility, and his total submission of his own will to the will of the Father, that is what establishes meekness. I have one more point in that is we should show meekness to all others. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Second Timothy 2, 24-25, New King James Version. Second Timothy 2, 24-25. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. That word gentle could just as well be meek to all. Able to teach, patient, and humility. That is actually translated as meekness in the King James Version. Correcting those who are and opposite, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. And so what we're seeing here, as believers, we should have this meek spirit, this attitude to all others, regardless of the relationship that we have with them. And I would dare say, that is so contrary to what we're taught in our American society. That's what the Bible shows. I mean, even if someone is hostile toward us, a meek, corrective, and teaching approach and attitude. Now, we have to be careful. We have to learn how to do this, but this is what the Scripture is showing. Could actually be a help in bringing that person to the knowledge and the understanding of the truth. Now, that's a totally different subject, but it is part of it. We need to understand that meekness is the opposite of self-assertiveness and self-interest. Biblical meekness or true meekness could actually be stated as being evenness of mind. Now, what I mean by that is it is neither being overly excited nor cast down, you know, deflating the self so much. Because a truly meek person is not occupied with self at all. So it's just not there. So it's neither one. I'm not saying that we shouldn't get excited and we can applaud and we can, you know, cheer and all of that. I'm not implying that. It's talking about in a particular context. The focus of true meekness is not in our outward behavior only, but for the matter of the fact it is, It is not even in our relationship to others. Because when you really understand it more exactly, we should be seeing that it is an inward development, tenderheartedness, and the performance of it is first and foremost toward God. What is the greatest commandment? Love God, and the second one is like unto it. But the first thing, it has to be directed because we're humbling ourselves to God. So since true meekness is really toward God, we need to realize that God permits and He uses the insults and the injuries that others may inflict upon us to humble us and to cleanse us. He wants us to be in the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So God gives us opportunities. So I hope that we conclude that meekness is not a quality that we need to be ignoring because the world considers it as weakness. It might appear to them as weakness, but I believe that this spiritual reality is that it has great strength. It is an attribute of God, and it is a fruit of His Spirit that we must need. We must have. Now, with that in mind, I want to read Zephaniah 2 and verse 3 to you, this time in a New King James Version. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld His justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility or meekness in the King James. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. And so what we come to realize, brethren, is that it is after doing these things that the meek shall inherit the earth. The Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God has blessed us as His people with this aspect of meekness. So God bless you all and happy Sabbath.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.